Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
Something strange in your neighborhood. Who are you gonna call? Ghostbusters!
I am afraid no ghosts. Okay, we can keep going, but we will not. Because that's a lot. All right, how's it going, everybody? You're watching / listening to the Command Zone podcast. You should probably watch this episode if you're not, if you're listening at home, because it's Halloween themed. Look at us.
I always hope they're not watching.
We put so much, Josh and I were talking about how we put more effort into this episode dressing the set than we ever do.
Yeah, we often put a lot of time into the outlines, but we've never put this amount of time into the
episode itself.
Listen, let's give credit where credit is due. This is Ashlyn.
Yes.
Who was like, we should do Halloween. I'll dress you guys up and dress the set. And we're like, okay. And this is what we ended up with, which.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So these are Amazon costumes. I look like David Bowie mates, Oktoberfest.
I look exactly like Kenrith, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, five-color Joshua here. Actually, I'm supposed to be Rankle, Master of Prankles, so I got kind of close.
Rankle went to Oktoberfest.
Yeah. You know how good it is when the face ID on my phone won't even see my face, because it doesn't...
It's like, sorry, it's like, someone stole your phone.
What is on your head over there? So what's today's episode about, Josh?
Right, so this is the scariest and spookiest cards in EDH episode. It's that time of year. If you don't know what time of year it is, then... Well, maybe you live someplace where they don't celebrate Halloween.
Yeah, that's sad. Halloween's a great holiday, and magic in its course and its history has made many pieces of art and many cards that are both scary and spooky in different ways. So today we're going to be breaking down all of those cards from the great art to the great cards themselves. And if you want to get any of these cards, or if you want to just make a Halloween-themed deck, you should head on over to cardkingdom.com/commandzone. That's our affiliate link. If you use that link to pre-order your singles, or just order your singles, sealed product, sleeves, whatever you need, it's going to get to you fast, great service. And of course, Card Kingdom, you're sponsoring us and you're helping us out make this show if you do so as well.
And you can also support all of our content by supporting our other sponsor, which is Ultra Pro. They make the awesome deck boxes, sleeves, the super scary play mats.
Ooh.
You've got Yargle, I've got Aminat.
Aminat is a very creepy looking card.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Ultra Pro not only has the best products to protect your stuff, but they also like... Their playmats just look better than everybody else's playmats. So
printed
if you want
better, they've been doing it for longer.
Yep, we know because when we've printed playmats in the past, we tried another service originally, and then we're like, nope, the Ultra Pro stuff just looks better. So
that's right.
Support Ultra Pro, support all of our content. Another way you can support all of our stuff is on Patreon. In fact, we call out one lucky patron every single episode, and this episode is dedicated to Katie Durbin.
Katie,
you rock.
Yes.
And one more thing before we get into the main topic here. Our Kickstarter is still ongoing. It's probably winding down now. It's probably on the back half.
Yeah.
We don't know exactly what day all of our stuff is always going to release.
No.
But it's getting near the end, you know, probably a little under a couple of weeks left, and we've raised a bunch. We really thank everybody. It's already allowed us to start purchasing some stuff like some new computers, which I'm really excited about. But we have a bunch of stretch goals.
Yeah. And one of the stretch goals is, of course, extra turns. We know you all have been asking for more and more. We've heard your voices. And so that's one of these stretch stretch goals. If we haven't hit already, if we have, there's probably some new stretch goals past that. A stretch goal is very basic on Kickstarter. Once you hit your goal, the creators, ourselves, can create new goals being like, cool, now if we can reach this amount, we can get X, Y, and Z extra for you all. And one of those is extra turns. So if you're interested in more extra turns or just helping better game nights, make sure you check out the Kickstarter. The link's going to be in the description box below, as well as on our Twitter and pretty much everywhere you can find us online.
Yeah, we got some really cool rewards too. We got some commemorative coins, t-shirts, all kinds of stuff. So check that out.
Please do. The time is running out, by the way. If you do not donate to this Kickstarter, you will not be able to get the exclusive rewards attached to it after it's over.
All right. Now it's time for our main topic. So Magic cards can kind of freak you out in a couple of different ways, right?
Yep.
There's the artwork.
Ugh. Sometimes.
Sometimes it can be straight up frightening.
Yep. Sometimes it actually is nightmare material, or it's scary enough to parents in the 90s to declare this game an occult game.
Yeah, just be like, sorry, kids, my kids are not allowed to play that. I had a friend, actually, who was in our playgroup, and their parents were like, nope, you can't play that game anymore. Yeah. But also cards can be scary, you know, in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So they can absolutely hit the battlefield and chill you to the core. So we're going to talk about both aspects on this episode, but let's start by talking about the cards that we live in fear of during the game.
Yep. So you audio listeners, we'll talk about the art later on. We suggest you head on over to youtube.com/thecommandzonepodcast to check out the video and to see our sweet costumes.
Yeah, for the audio people, yeah, it probably won't be that great to hear us talk about art later on, but for this first part, you can still listen to the audio.
Yep.
I keep wanting to roll up my sleeves, but I feel like that ruins the costume. Okay, don't do that.
Yeah, you were.
Also, my glasses
king.
Are starting to fog a little at the top because it's hot. Okay, we'll get through this. It's no problem. All right, so these are the cards we live in fear of our opponents casting.
Yeah. Well, the first one, actually, I enjoy casting.
Oh, see, I'm always like, if somebody casts this card, I'm done. I'm hosed. Yeah. Like, well, you constantly also, throughout the game, I'm just thinking that.
Yeah, and you will also direct all of your effort to eliminating that player as soon as possible.
Probably in the next game, because I'm probably done for the current game. Yeah.
Our first card on the list of scariest cards to hit the table across from you, it is Blood Moon. 2 and a red for an enchantment. Non-basic lands are mountains. Ooh, what a fun card. Scary.
A lot of people will throw at me, like, why not back to basics? Why not Armageddon? Those cards are not as bad as Blood Moon. Here's why. I can play a land after those cards come out, and then I'll be able to use that land to get rid of the back to basics. Or at least Armageddon.
At the very least, you get to still play land.
You get to start over. Blood Moon? The next land I play, if it's a non-basic, is still a freaking mountain, and I still can't use red mana to get rid of the enchantment. So it just turns off my ability to get rid of it later. So I absolutely abhor Blood Moon. I hate it.
Yeah, and as Kenrith over here, you're 5-color. You're going to be playing a lot of non-basics.
Unless you're Mitch, who plays a lot of basics and is 5 colors, and it works out for him.
Yeah.
So maybe I should start playing like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Also way cheaper.
I also don't like playing Blood Moon, even though it's very on theme with my brand, just because people really don't like seeing this card hit the table. There's nothing more frustrating than having mana that you can't use, but you have access to.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, colorless, cool. I guess. Yeah. The next card is very similar to Blood Moon. It's Contamination. It's 2 and a black for an enchantment. And it says, at the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice Contamination unless you sacrifice a creature. So it's a little harder to keep it up than Blood Moon, but most decks that play it have no problem meeting that. And then it says, if a land is tapped for mana, it produces black instead of any other type and amount.
Weesh.
This is in some ways worse because that includes basic lands.
Yeah, and bounce lands get stuck by this too. I mean, it is pretty funny, honestly. Contamination in a black deck should be fun because you have creatures to sack. But every single person, including your own, so it's not, you want to play this in a mono black or a heavy black deck.
Yeah.
But this really does also turn off other people's decks, just straight up, because it's any land.
There's many times in the game where if somebody plays either Contamination or Blood Moon, I'm like, okay, well, I will just lose.
Now. I'll wait it out and someone will get rid of it. And
but probably I'll lose.
Yeah, probably I'll lose. This next card, though, has made me lose on multiple occasions.
Yeah.
Every single time I see it, I can't remove it because it doesn't let you.
It's kind of like Blood Moon in a way.
Yeah, in a way.
It turns off your cards and turns off the cards that would remove the card that's turning off your cards.
Yeah, it's Gaddick T, green and a white for a 2/2 legendary Kithkin Advisor. Non-creature spells with converted mana cost 4 or greater can't be cast. Like board wipes. Non-creature spells with X in their mana cost can't be cast.
Yeesh.
So, basically, you can't do any X spells at all.
Nope.
Unless it's a creature.
Yeah,
so
right.
I guess Gadwick somehow gets around this. You can only cast Galbic for three. Actually, it doesn't. No, it's not creature.
Okay. It's not creature, yeah.
Yeah, but this does get rid of so many different removal spells. Sometimes we put in like a Mystic Confluence in your deck. You're like, sweet, this is the best counter spell ever. It does so much.
Command, nope, sorry. Spell Swindles and yeah, a lot of the big spells, Expropriate couldn't be cast. All
the game-winning things, really.
Yeah. But also just a lot of the board wipes. A lot of times this is a board wipe protector. So somebody has a big board, they cast Gaddock Teague and go. And you're like, crap, I was planning on Supreme Verdicting, but I cannot cast that spell now.
It's funny because a lot of times you play, like I have a discard deck and it's like, sweet, I got three cards out of everyone's hands. Sometimes Gaddock Teague can just shut down entire hands. And the same with the last two cards we talked about. But that's the scary part is it affects everyone.
The next one is the next card on the list is pretty similar. It turns off large percentages of people's hands and often turns off the cards, their answers that would kill this card and turn on the rest of their hand. So it's Void Winnower, 9 mana Eldrazi. It's an 11/9, but it says your opponents can't cast spells with even converted mana costs, and zero is even, just to add insult to injury. And it says your opponents can't block with creatures with even converted mana costs, which does come up, but it's really the can't cast spells part.
Yeah.
It just turns off half of people's hands, and sometimes randomly it'll just turn off like all five cards somebody has. Like they just happen to be even.
Yeah, someone had Void Winnower and Gaddock Teague out in me in the game. And that was a feel bad.
I would only cast one and three drops. That's it.
Yeah, and at that point in the game, it's like turn 17. Like no one's casting anything that's that low. It's like, oh, cool, I cast my Soul Ring. Sweet. At this turn, doesn't actually matter. Yeah, Void Winnower, it's a 9-mana spell, but it's one of the most impactful 9-mana spells I think I've seen. That's not just a straight-up like Insurrection win the game. Yeah. So if you want to be, I guess, fair at 9-mana, Void Winnower is...
Semi-fair,
yeah.
A lot of times it gets cheated in, though, off like braids and stuff.
This next card is a Josh Lee Kwai favorite. It brings him much joy. His smile, it reaches across the moon when you see it. Blood Moon.
Across the Blood Moon?
Yeah, it's Mindslaver. It's a legendary artifact, and you can pay for and tap it to sacrifice it, and you control target player during that player's next turn. I don't know if anyone out there has been Emrakul'd by the new Emrakul. It's brutal.
And that one has some checks and balances, right? You get a turn after they take your turn, and it's a lot harder to lock somebody.
Yeah.
Right? Mindslaver, it doesn't have the Emrakul clause. You take their turn, and that's their turn. Then they pass the turn, and they don't get another turn like you do with Emrakul. Yeah.
And they have to wait three more turns to like get back to their turn, too? Oof, that's brutal.
And then, of course, Mindslaver can be recurred, and I think that's the thing about it that's just like... But there's many times in a game where if you thought about it, you're like, if they cast Mindslaver and activate it, I'm just done.
Yeah, or like, I've been waiting for this turn the entire game. I just need to get back to here, and then I can win the game. Nah, Mindslaver's going to get in the way of that. Another thing about Mindslaver, it's a legendary artifact, so there are a lot of cards that can just straight up search it out that care about legendary cards. The art is also pretty horrific if you've ever seen it. You wouldn't want this happening to you anytime soon.
That's true. It could have gone in our scary artwork section.
You know what a fun thought experiment is sometimes I'll look at my hand and go, what if I was Mindslaver and had to play the worst
possible?
Yeah. And turns out... Boy, you can really make some dumb plays in Magic if you just want to, like, put your hand on the board and just not use it for anything or target your own stuff.
I mean, I've taken people's turns or seen them taken where people just cast Necropotence and then draw until you die.
Oh, God, that's so awful.
I saw a game the other night where somebody took a turn and then scape-shifted the person and failed to find, so just Armageddon the one player. Like,
wait,
those effects are just brutal, yeah.
That's so brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah, once you start, I mean, it's fun because you can start also, it kind of gives you an insight into how cards can work.
Right.
Like, you can actually do this for zero if you wanted to. It wouldn't do anything, but it's like, huh. That's actually how I first understood how to like increase your storm count by casting a card for zero, like an X spell. Just like I'll cast like an XX, like Walking Ballista or something.
Just cast it for zero, get my storm count up. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. The next two cards on the list are probably certainly the cards Craig has killed me with the most. And
yeah, I think you died to one of them recently.
We had an EDH night just the other night, and I died to this first card twice on the same night. One was Craig and one was somebody else, I forget.
Well, for Craig, it makes sense. Someone else, that one, a monster.
So it's Triumph of the Hordes. It's two green for a sorcery. Until end of turn, creatures you control get +1/+1 and trample and infect.
Yeah, the trample...
If it didn't give trample, it would probably be fine.
Trample feels like overkill.
I mean, that's what makes it so brutal.
It's also a 4-mana overwhelm, right?
It's 4 mana, but it has the same effect as Craterhoof.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, the thing about Triumph of the Hordes is that I do put this in a lot of decks if I just don't want to play Crater Hoof, if I don't want to get an 8-mana creature out.
Or you need two of those effects maybe in a deck like that. So you want Crater Hoof and this, right?
Right, because Triumph of the Hordes is very good at definitely getting rid of one player and very bad at getting rid of everyone. Crater Hoof usually gets the job done across the entire board.
Right.
Yeah, it's one of those cards I think is also one of the saltiest cards that people have it played against.
Because you just
them.
Die when you're at 40.
Yeah, no one likes that, right? Especially when it's like mana dorks that all of a sudden are just infecting you, or like tiny creatures running across the board, or an Edric deck where they can just like come in for a lot. Tainted Strike is the more singular version of it. It's one black for an instant, and you just give target creature +1/+0 and infect. So they don't get trampled, but an unblocked blocker that you can pump up in a Voltron-style deck, this can just one-shot people.
Yeah, if it's at 9 power, it's going to kill people because it'll pump it to 10. It is a card that if you are sort of aware that it's a possibility, there's a lot of games where like, if they just have that, I'm dead.
Yeah.
Now, not everybody plays it, but in
general. Well, I'd say people play it because we've talked about it so many times on the show now, too, which is, I guess, our fault if we die to it. There is a sick pleasure in killing a Command Zone host at a GP with a card that we hyped up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
The next one is similar, but is just more of a monster. It's not like an instant on-the-spot kill. It's Blightsteel Colossus. 12 mana for an 11-11 with Trample, Infect, and Indestructible. And of course, if it is put into the graveyard from anywhere, you shuffle it back into your deck. So it also serves as decking protection.
As a shuffle, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not as scared of this one as I am the other two, because a lot of times, even if they cast it, hopefully we'll be able to deal with it by the time it gets back to them.
Yeah, people are usually trying to tinker out or a card like this in non-EDH formats.
Like, if you're tapped out, you're not scared of Blightsteel Colossus. But if you're tapped out, you're scared of Triumph of the Hordes and Tainted Strike.
Yeah, and Blightsteel does not have haste. It's also a creature, so it's much easier to remove. Like, Triumph of the Hordes, are you going to get rid of 5 creatures that have Infect? Because it's applied to all of them.
Right. the next one of the best lands in the game. It's Gaia's Cradle. You tap to add green for each creature you control.
Yeah, and the scary part about this, too, is that I've seen people, like, play this single land, and there's, like, 6 other lands. They have maybe 1 or 2 creatures out, and I see them tapping everything but the Gaia's Cradle, because they just start unloading creatures on the board, and then the Gaia's Cradle comes in, like, the hammer at the end to add, like, 7 more mana, and then they do something huge and explosive.
Yeah, definitely very scary card. As soon as it hits the battlefield, it's possible you lose that turn.
Yeah, or the player has one of those turns where they immediately become archenemy. You have to do something about it. So you don't really see cards that swing the game so hard so quickly, and Gaia's Cradle and like the expropriate S cards do that.
This next card, I live in fear of for sure, because a lot of times when you're doing something, you have to be like, if they have this card, I might just lose, or definitely my play is maybe horribly bad.
And completely nullified, even.
Yeah, so it's Teferi's Protection. 2 and a white for an instant. Until your next turn, your life total can't change, and you have protection from everything. All permanents you control phase out. While they're phased out, they're treated as though they don't exist. They phase in before your untap, before you untap during your untap step. And then you exile Teferi's Protection. So all your permanents just go away, can't be affected, you can't be affected in any way. And then right before your turn, everything comes back, so you get your turn cleanly.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like, well, your deck and your graveyard stay around, but guess what? You have protection from
everything.
So they can't target your stuff. They really can't do anything to you. I don't think there is a single more powerful card in mono white than Teferi's Protection.
Maybe Smothering Tithe I would put on that list as possible. But in the moment you cast Teferi's Protection, it's probably the most powerful thing you could do, because it's either going to save you from, like, you know, their board wipe or whatever, and just guarantee that you untap and, you know, maybe win the game. There's so many times where it's like, oh, you go to Cyclonic Rift or whatever, and
they don't,
if they have Teferi's Protection, you're going to die.
Yeah. You know, you could just cast both that and Smothering Tithe if you're you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did do that.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. The one thing I wish Teferi's Protection had, just to make it truly, like, impenetrable, is Split Second.
Oh,
because sometimes cast it and then they can combo off in response. I've done that to people and had it done to me. So it's not ironclad. It's still very good, obviously.
And it does exile itself, so you can't recast it, grab it back from the graveyard. You know what the scariest part about this card is?
What?
I have no idea when it's going to get reprinted.
Yeah,
that
is
so
scary.
Because
I hope so. At the time they're watching this, we have announced a lot of stuff for next year. So we can hope there's definitely more places next year for them to reprint this than there ever have been. So maybe in one of those new pre-con type decks for the other sets, or maybe in Commander Legends, this could happen. If you haven't watched our announcement video, by the way,
you must.
Yeah. Next year's going to be nuts for
Commander. Year's going to be crazy. Yeah. And of course, check out the Kickstarter as well, because Game Nights, I'm sure, will coincide with Lalo's exciting releases. All right. This next one is one that, I don't know. It's just, I feel like this card shouldn't exist.
And anytime somebody is up to 9 mana and they have 2 blue in there, if they cast this card, they're probably going to win. So I'm always like, is it that?
Is it here? Has it come to that time to expropriate? So it's 7 blue, 9 mana total for a sorcery, and it has a Council's Dilemma on it, which means that everyone's going to vote at the table. And you start, and everyone votes for 2 things, let's say A or B. In this case, it's called Time or Money. Anytime someone votes for time, you get an extra turn. And anytime someone votes for money, you get to just choose a permanent they control, and you gain control of it. So the reason this card's really scary is that you get a vote, and yours is the first vote.
So you always vote extra turn because you don't need to steal your own thing.
Yeah.
So now it's blatant thievery plus an extra turn at the least. That's the least, worst it is. Sometimes it's time stretch, which is 2 extra turns, plus blatant thievery for 2 other players. Sometimes it's 3 extra turns if your opponents are playing incorrectly. We say this every time we mention the card. Always, 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 if your opponent casts it, vote for you steal one of my things. Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Even though those things are going to get haste because they're going to get an extra turn anyway, it's better than then giving them 3 untapped steps in a row.
By the time they have 9 mana, they're going to win the game with more than 1 extra turn. Listen, you probably lose to they steal your stuff and get 1 extra turn, but you have at least a sliver of a chance there. You have no chance if they steal 1 or 2 things and get 2 or more extra turns.
Like, if you're the player right after the person that casts Expropriate, you have a better chance because you only have to live through 1 of those turns. So if you're the Expropriate player, I would also suggest you make sure that on your 1 extra turn that you should have, minimum, take out the player that's going to try and take you out the first.
The next one is probably the card that has ended the most Commander games besides...
Or extended.
That's true, actually. You see it a lot in Defense.
Yeah.
It's Cyclonic Rift. We already mentioned it. 1 and a blue for an instant. Return target non-land permanent you don't control to its owner's hand, but you can overload it for 6 and a blue, and you return all non-land permanents you don't control to their owner's hand. This is one of the cards that always comes up as far as things people might like banned in the format. It's the second highest played card in the entire format, according to EDH Rec, after Sol Ring.
Yeesh.
Extremely, extremely powerful. I don't think we need to talk about that much. Everybody knows.
Yeah. I would say, though, if I saw this Cyclonic Rift coming at me in real life, that would also be very scary. Because it's got lightning bolts, electricity.
I'm getting down into the basement when I see that thing, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You're still going to get bounced. All right, the next 3 are the Praetors.
Next four, right.
Jyn Gataxias, Voren Kleck, Shieldred, Elesh Norn. Unfortunately, Reds is a bit...
Yeah, Reds, sorry, as Red does.
Other cards do what Red's one does.
Well, let me ask you, of the 4,
mm-hmm.
what do you think is the scariest?
For me, I think Elesh Norn is probably the scariest, because it immediately affects the board in a board wipe-esque state.
Yeah.
Whereas all of the other ones, you basically have to have an untapped step.
You at least have a chance, a very small moment to do something before they really nail you.
Yeah.
Right? If you kill Jyn Gataxias on your turn, you don't have to discard your hand. And, you know, they drew some cards, but it wasn't the worst thing ever.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas Elesh Norn, even if you kill it, it already hit the battlefield, probably did a ton of
probably
damage.
Probably a ton of things.
I agree with you. I think Vorinclex is next, actually. Because
killing
Vorinclex, you have to tap mana.
Oh, yeah.
So you probably got a little bit hosed in that exchange, because that Vorinclex doesn't let people who tap mana untap their mana on the next turn.
Gataxias is terrifying, though, because it has flash. So you flash in during their second main phase, and then they have to go to cleanup and bye-bye hand.
Yeah, that's a good point on their end.
So at least one person gets wrecked by it.
Yeah, that's true.
I would say that
you
all of
these...
You
could still still kill it, though. I mean, you'd have a chance,
true.
Right?
You'd
there.
Have
it'd
a chance, be, yeah. Yeah, the thing about Elesh Norn is that...
It just happens.
It happens, and it will kill a lot of things. And all of the arts of these, by the way, are sufficiently creepy.
Elesh Norn gives -2/-2 to all creatures your opponents control.
Right. And Voren Kleck basically says whenever your opponent taps a land for mana, that land doesn't untap during its control, it's unstapped, and...
Doubles your orbit.
You get double mana, too, yeah. So all the good things.
All right, the next card is... it can get confusing when you play this card, and that's one of the reasons I fear it, because the arguments that are going to occur. It's Humility. It's 2 white for an enchantment. All creatures lose all abilities and have base power and toughness 1/1. they have that. You don't get any Enter the Battlefield effects. I'm sorry. No. You don't get death triggers.
It's like Torpor Orb plus that crazy white enchantment from Amon Kett.
Overwhelming Splendor.
Overwhelming Splendor. Yeah. Yeah. Plus everyone gets turned into a frog, basically. Yeah. It's bad. It strips all of the abilities. So everyone's just left with an army of 1/1s.
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
What are you supposed to do? Just swing into everyone? The token deck's like, sweet. I'm all about it.
That I've seen this played where the token deck was like, okay, played a Beastmaster Ascension, still like attack and one, like didn't matter to them at all.
True, yeah. There are ways around Humility, but in general, those are cards that just very, very scary when they hit the battlefield because there's nothing worse than losing access. I mean, a lot of these cards, I think, have the same thing, which is you lose access to either play the game or your hand or the cards on your battlefield.
Your cards just don't either work or do the thing they're supposed to, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We wanted to give shout-outs here to...
On this hallowed day.
Prophet of Crucifix and Paradox Engine, which definitely would have been on this list if they were still legal.
Yeah, they're very, very scary. Now, scariest cards that we play all the time.
That we actually put in our decks?
Aura Shards. I love this card. It is definitely one of the scarier cards to come out on the battlefield. It's one green white for an enchantment. Whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, you may destroy target artifact or enchantment.
I definitely play that card. I don't play the next three cards.
Really?
You're a bad person.
I've seen you play Contamination before.
No.
What?
When?
I feel like I've seen it before.
No, I'm definitely an anti-contamination person.
Somewhere in me is a traumatic memory of someone playing Contamination. I could have sworn it was you.
It's right. Probably Kessler.
We need to give some love to red, and so this is the scariest red card I play by far.
Oh, I play this in my Jorah deck.
Yeah, I play this in my Planeswalker deck. It's Decree of Annihilation. So it's 8 red for a sorcery, and it says exile all artifacts, creatures, and lands from the battlefield. All cards from all graveyards, and all cards from all hands.
Yep.
So 10 mana, everyone loses
everything.
Except
Planeswalkers.
And enchantments.
Yep.
And you can also cycle it for 5 red and a red, and when you cycle it, you destroy all the lands.
So you can just cycle it at instant speed and Armageddon?
Instant speed, blow up everyone's lands? That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I played Enjoy because you suspend a bunch of stuff. You let this come off, suspend first, cast it, and then you cast the other stuff.
Yeah, and it draws you something. Yeah, Decree of Annihilation, it costs a ton, and... it's scary, and people probably are not going to be happy if you play it either.
It's old school Joyra, not
old
the new
school.
One.
Yeah.
Oh, we definitely know you played this next one.
Yeah, it's Price of Glory. Had to throw some red love on here. 2 and a red for an enchantment. Whenever a player taps a land for mana, if it's not that player's turn, destroy that land. It just shuts down every blue deck in the world, including your own red deck, if you're not careful.
Yeah.
Old Game Nights.
I think it was
the SRAM episode, I believe. It was one that Wes was on.
I think it was. You were playing
Karizev. Yeah. Yeah. That I paid the price of glory.
You did.
I paid the Piper, and the Piper was like, ooh, sorry, buddy. It's all over for you.
All right. We're going to move on now to our scariest artwork picks. There are some really freaky imagery associated with Magic over the years. Some
nightmare fuel.
Some crazy stuff. Yeah, but before we get into that, we're going to take a quick break and hear a message from our sponsors.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
All right, we are back. Let's move on now to the spookiest cards. I like saying spooky because we say scary so much, but spooky is just, you know, it's like more fun.
It's spooky, but some of these aren't that fun. They're straight up really frightening.
Yeah, the first one we've actually just talked about, that's Elish Norn Grand Sandabite. So we're going to be looking at the artwork here. This is by Igor Kiriluk.
I have no idea.
What is happening?
What is that headpiece?
It's massive. It reminds me of something like out of Resident Evil or like Pyramid Head.
Yeah. Elish Norn, I don't know if it's a male or female, but their neck must be really strong.
Because it's just pure muscle and
fiber.
Yeah,
you have to hold up that headpiece, which is maybe the greatest headpiece in Magic, I think, probably. I don't know how Elish Norn sees anything.
Well, shout out to Tappy Toe Claws for doing a great cosplay of this at GP Vegas.
Yep.
This art is just, I love it because it's fantastically creepy, too. It has a very elegant feel to it. Like, Elish Norn, herself, is just so...
Look at their hands.
Hands? Oh, yeah.
Looks like just could stab you, easily pull your heart right out.
Yeah, or you just like, could you imagine getting to an elevator with Elish Norn? You're like, oh, God, where am I going to stand?
Well, true, except for Elish Norn is really skinny. He needs to eat like a steak sandwich or something.
Or could be very, very tall as well. Who knows?
But the headpiece, you're right, you'd be dodging it the whole time.
Well, my question is...
You could hide those, like you, Marco.
Wait, maybe Elish Norn has a massive blind spot. How are they going to see?
Yeah, exactly.
They're actually blind. Also, I need to know if the red on them is like exposed blood or are they just red?
Right, they just like that color as stylishly because they've got like a cape or cloak or something there.
Yeah.
Many unanswered questions with Elish.
Many unanswered questions.
Let me tell you, if Elish Norn showed up at the foot of your bed, like at night.
Oh, come on, man. Don't do this to me. Maybe that's the test of how scary it is.
That's very scary.
Have you ever had those dreams where you wake up and you can't move?
Oh, yeah. I've read about this because they're...
It's like sleep paralysis, basically.
Yeah, your body like basically paralyzes you during your sleep so that if you're like having a dream where you run, you don't run. But yeah. you can wake up and that's still
in
effect.
State. And what happens is like, for instance, this happened to me once. Thank goodness it was only once. I was in my room. I opened my eyes. I was like, why am I feel so fuzzy? Because I wasn't putting any like blood or motion into my arms or my legs or my body. And then I like kind of glance over at the door. And in the door is like a Garrick-sized man with an axe, just like breathing heavily and just like ready to walk in. I'm getting shivers just thinking about it. So what your brain does is it puts, you can see everything, but it's in a dream state still.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, in sleep paralysis, it's like, it's going to be scary.
They'd say that's where a lot of like alien abduction and certain stories come from, because your brain will put a figure there, and there's a lot of stories of people remembering a figure at their bed, and they think it's like related to this sleep paralysis thing, because often there's a figure that your brain creates in those moments.
And for a lot of people, it's aliens.
Yeah, or your brain kind of tries to interpret it later, and you're like, well...
What was that?
Like a weird skinny thing or whatever, and then blah, blah, blah.
Magic players will have very scary versions of sleep paralysis because of cards like... Elish Norn, and this next one.
So this next one's interesting. You have to look at it to really understand what's happening. So Keru Bloodsucker, which is by Daniel Ljunggren. At first you look at it and you're like, it's just like a guy with a long tongue.
Yeah, and he's kind of like looking off forlornly.
Looks like on the edge of a pier, like reaching towards the water or something.
And then the moment you start getting closer, you see that there's a set of teeth underneath the face.
And you're like, wait a minute, why would the teeth be under the chin of the person? And then you realize, someone's cut off someone else's face and is wearing it on top of their head.
Yeah, not only wearing it, but putting it into the spikes that are coming out of its face and just using it as like pins to be like, this is a good one. I'm gonna put this on my face this time. Today I am George, unlucky soul.
It's like, it's like from Game of Thrones, the person who can change their face, but they're really bad at it.
Yeah, they're really bad at it. Everyone just looks at it and goes, that's definitely not your face. And this tongue, man, this tongue is as long as its arms, which also are very Slenderman-esque, very long and spindly.
Yeah.
And they got those claw little fingers. And then the hair, do you see this hair? It's like you ever see The Ring?
Yes, it is like the,
Girl in the Ring.
That,
yeah.
That's scary.
That's a very, very scary movie.
Okay.
So yeah, do not let this thing suck your blood. It will just put your face on its face and pretend to be you.
The next two are like actually scary. This might be the most disturbing of all the artwork.
Yeah.
So it's Brain Maggot, but it's a specific version. It's the promo art done by Dave Kendall.
Yeah.
And it shows like...
It's another one that on first look, you're like, oh, it's just kind of like a slug thing.
But it's coming out of someone's ear and it's ripping its way out. And the slug thing itself looks like... It doesn't look like a regular maggot. It's like a Phyrexian maggot.
It looks like something that if you enlarged it by like 100 times, it would just be like a sandcrawler worm in the desert. Like it looks like a full-size monster, but in bite-size form that can go into your ear. And it's like also got sutures running up and down its body for some reason.
Someone
experimented on it. You know what makes me really creeped out?
What?
It has these like purple glowing orbs inside. Yeah. And what if those were eggs?
So there's a whole bunch more maggots inside that are going to come out later.
In your brain, and they're going to pop, pop, pop. Come on out.
Yeah, this one gives me the heebie-jeebies maybe more than any other one.
Yeah, the way that they have the blood oozing out of the ear, too, and the ear looks bruised. You see the earrings on the ear and the hair and the facial hair of the person. Like, there's so much detail in this art.
Dave Kendall, you...
You're creeping me out. Hey, where can we get the original magic art for that? The next one's very similar. It's Mind Maggots. And again, we see someone's ear with an earring. And this time it's not just one, but it's like seven or eight alien-esque creatures.
They look like aliens from Aliens.
Yeah. The front of their like little faces do.
Yeah.
And then the rest of them, they're like see-through bodies. They have spines. They're oozing everywhere as well. And this one looks like it's actually like being like, I'm going back in.
Yeah. One of them's like, no, I liked it in there. Just cover your ears while you sleep, everybody. That's all I could say.
Oh, by the way, the whole like myth of a spider walking into your mouth once a year when you sleep, that's just totally not true.
Yeah. But, oh man.
Wait, why did you say but?
So my girlfriend, I think I've talked about, is a medical provider.
Uh-huh.
She has pulled things like cockroaches out of people's ears.
Why?
That crawl in there when they sleep. So that does happen. I'm sorry.
You know what I've seen a lot of recently in LA? Cockroaches.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's that time of year. So just cover your ears while you sleep is what I'm saying.
A horrific story. When I was a really little kid, I was playing on the playground and I heard a bee and I was like, oh, don't move. The bee's here. It landed on my ear and it crawled into my ear.
Did it sting you in there?
No, because I was just frozen in fear. And I could feel the buzzing throughout my entire body because it was just shaking. Its wings were like, what the heck is this? This is not a honeycomb or whatever it was looking for. This is not a flower. This ain't the black lotus. It eventually crawled back out. I think it had to back out. You could hear a little beep, beep, beep as it came out. And
Lord.
It just flew away. And I was just like, oh, gosh. If I had like done anything, smacked it, could you imagine getting like an eardrum pierced by a freaking bee sting?
Okay, let's move on to stuff that's less horrific, like a person getting stabbed with big things while their brain is open to...
Just a literal brain hole. It's amnesia.
This one's by... Mind Maggots is Ron Spencer.
Yes.
Amnesia is Mark Poole.
Yeah, classic magic artist. Yeah. This is a really, really old piece of art. You know what the scariest part about this card is? It's a rare. This card doesn't need to be a rare. Maybe it means you see less of it. Yeah, it's very scary.
It's not like that great of a card, although I've seen some people play it in EDH, which is you know, weird. It's a person sort of being experimented on. It's like you went to a really bad acupuncturist.
Instead of putting the needle in you, they're like, what if I put it through and just threaded it through the other side?
It's somebody who learned how to acupuncture like on YouTube.
I mean, the weirdest part is the fact that this guy has an open hole in his brain.
Yeah.
You can see through it, which makes it even more grotesque. You see like viscera dropping from the top of the brain and you see parts of the brain oozing out of the front of his head.
Yeah. And he's drooling.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody needs to give him a napkin.
He also looks like Doc from Back to the Future a little bit because his hair's all frizzy out.
Great Scott!
Great Scott!
Marty!
Yeah, it's him or Rick.
I don't like this acupuncture! Okay,
you
gotta tell me about this next one. So you put on the list, and here's the thing. I was looking up all the cards because, you know, I didn't know all the ones you put on the list. And I brought up the name of this card.
You couldn't find it.
And it brought up a bunch of different arts, and I was like... Which one of these is spooky? So it's Reverse Damage.
It's the old version by Damian Willick.
Damian Willick or Willich. So you got to explain to me what's scary about this.
Everything is scary about this. Look at, you've seen like pseudo-realistic drawings before, right?
Yeah.
Maybe this is the rare. That's what the scary part is. This card's a rare.
Yeah.
For some part of me, there's something called the It's the realm between real and fake.
Okay.
The I forget the name of it already. But basically, when someone tries to like make a fake robot,
right.
It's like uncanny valley.
Okay.
And that to me is a terrifying thing because it's like someone trying to imitate life, and they're getting almost all the way there. But there's very clearly lifeless parts of it that just, to me, like, there's a demon in there. There's a ghost in there.
So this lady.
This lady, for whatever reason, someone upped the contrast on the art. Someone gave her the most horrific cheekbones I've ever seen. And the way she's looking, she just feels to me like something that is fake, but is trying to be real. And I'm sure, okay, no insult to Damian Willock. I'm sure he was trying to paint a real lady here. But the way it came out and the way it looks is just... That's terrifying. Josh, you don't think that's a scary-looking person?
Let's read what the card does. Maybe that'll give us a little bit of a clue into the intentions here. It's one white for an instant. The next time a source of your choice would deal damage to you this turn, prevent that damage. You gain life equal to the damage prevented. Okay,
Isn't it scary that the art has nothing to do with the card, Josh?
There's like a lightning bolt coming in behind her, so maybe she's...
What is she reflecting it with? Her hair?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
You know what the scary part is? Maybe underneath this, there's like a very regular art that's just like an explosion of light. Like, haha, you deflected it. And then this person just creeped up when this picture was taken. And then,
they're photobombed.
Yeah, they photobombed the art. And it's like, I'm here now. And that's terrifying. The first time I saw this art, I gasped. I was like, what? That can't be magic art. That's terrifying. That is just...
Okay, well...
All right, I'm scared of that card.
Okay.
This next one is conventionally a lot more scary.
Yeah.
It's Macabre Waltz. This is the Dissension version that's by Jim Murray. A lot of people refer to this art when they talk about it's just scary grotesque, cards. Disgusting.
It's like these two beings, like people dancing in like a well of blood.
Not just dancing.
It could be ketchup, though, in which case. Or, oh, you know what it is?
What?
Now I understand this. It's sriracha.
Oh.
I would be dancing like that, too.
But they look like they're
You're
in
a
pain.
Well of sriracha.
This person's hand
no,
is...
No, they're doing the tango.
Oh, man. Well, they're very flexible in that case. And this guy's legs, he's been skipping leg day hard at the gym.
Well, sriracha's not actually very nutritious.
You know what the scariest part about this is then? So his dance partner is reaching around his skull and grabbing and opening his eye, which means sriracha's going really straight in the eyeball.
That would sting. That would sting. I ain't going to lie. That's why he's opening his mouth. He's like, ow, my eyes.
But then he's tasting it too. He's like, oh, but this is nice. This is offsetting it. Question, why do they have these strange ties wrapped around them? I guess it's just like pseudo clothing.
Yeah, I guess. That's what's left because they've been down in the sriracha well for so long.
For some reason, I imagine...
They drilled down to find pure sriracha, though. That's what I think
They happened. Built this well for pure sriracha?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they better begin welling and stop dancing.
Okay.
I imagine for some reason, like, Batman begins, like, hopping from wall to wall here, like in The Dark Knight Rises. This next card
I think this is legitimately the...
This might be one of the scariest,
the creepiest one. Because when you start to look at the art and you break it down, it gets worse and worse.
Okay.
It's Ad Nauseam. It's by Jeremy Jarvis. So if you look, what does Ad Nauseam mean? It means... repeating the same thing over and over, right?
Yes, yeah.
So if you look, there's a figure. They're on their knees. They look scary. We'll get into that in a second. But look around them. They're drawing the same symbol over and over and over and over again. And they've got piles and piles of paper with the same symbol drawn on it. And then you look at their hands. They don't have any. So my assumption is they drew the symbol for so long that they wore their hands down to nothing. But then they affixed... some weird contraption to their hands so they could keep with, it's just like a paintbrush on a wire so they could keep painting the symbol.
So what I think those actually are the bones in the person's arm after it's been worn down. And so they chiseled the bone into a paintbrush and that's what they're still using to paint.
But they're still like, I gotta draw the symbol. And then look, they have a device that's keeping their eyes open so they don't have to sleep or
stop. Oh, I didn't even realize that.
So they can keep drawing the symbol. I gotta keep drawing the symbol. And they're...
They bent over so much that the back... skin has started to peel away. You don't even see muscle around the lower ribs. At least his feet are fine.
Yeah. Inexplicably.
And he looks like he has some like cool like pant armor too for some reason.
But this is a person who's been doing this for so long that they've just completely ruined themselves and they're still going.
Yeah, just look at this face.
I wonder what that symbol means.
Ad nauseum, I guess. He's also missing one tooth.
Yeah. Well, you know, not a lot of time to eat sugar
There's even like parts of his mouth. Maybe his mouth is being held open by something because it looks like even his cheek tissue is starting to tear away at the seams.
Yeah, this one's freaky. This one tells a whole story and I don't like it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay. All right. This next one's a bit different because it's actually two cards in one. So you have to meld Bruna the Fading Light together with what's the other one called?
Bruna and... It's
Griselda. Yeah, yeah. And it makes Brizella, voice of nightmares. So this thing is fantastically creepy because it's basically what would happen if you took two angels, made them Eldrazi, and then melded them together, and their inner organs and stuff would intertwine with each other. Their sinews would collapse into itself, and then the wings would sprout demon wings, and then they grow like a bunch of extra hands for some reason.
And then
they have two heads that are like split, and their skin is just ripping off of their face.
Yeah. It looks like they're covered in these spider webs, like from back there, except for they're like.
Except it's their internal organs and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the idea, too, of just like taking two things and forcing them together. Like.
Yeah, what if they don't like each other that much? Sorry.
Yeah, they're like, it's like a really.
I guarantee they don't like this much, you know?
It'd be funny if there was some sort of sitcom where Brizella just had to live in the same apartment and they're constantly like, but I want to eat mac and cheese. Yeah. Not tonight.
We're not having mac and cheese again. Yeah. All right, this next one harkens a little to the most recent season of The Handmaid's Tale. It's sensory deprivation. Ugh. So we've got a person who their eyes and their mouth have been sewn shut. Well, their mouth is almost sewn shut. It looks like they can open it a little bit, but
I wouldn't want them to open it any more than they are right now for fear of tearing apart.
Yeah, exactly. They're trying to open their mouth, probably to scream. And yeah, if you saw Handmaid's Tale this season, there's a little bit of
this
going on.
The disgustingness is that they really put a lot of detail into how the skin is pulled when you like put something through it, like a hook. Like imagine a fish hook in your cheek. Now imagine that on both sides of your eyeball so that you can't open them, and then across your entire mouth.
And somebody had to sew that. So you just get this idea of somebody stuck needles in and did that.
And it's crazy because like some of the needles on the bottom part go through the lip part of the lip, and some of them go through the skin part. And the person just looks like they're in pain.
I mean, that seems like it would hurt. You can't see or talk.
Yeah. So that's drawn by Stephen Belladin, and Brizella, voice of nightmares, was Clint Kearley.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Okay.
Yeah.
We got to do better than that. All right. The next one is Thought Scour, and it's by David Raposa.
And this one is just horrific. So Thought Scour is a card that you basically choose a player to put the top two cards of their library into their graveyard and draw a card. Very often used in Modern to mill, as well as just sort of cycle a card out of their hand. They decided that the depiction of this would be someone literally drilling into the brain of someone else in multiple areas. Not just the top, but the sides as well.
It's like a machine holding them down, too. It looks like Thanos got a hold of them a little bit. You know,
and there's a hand there. Where's the hand coming from?
You know where
from?
Thanos like gets Nebula? It looks like a room like that.
Oh, yeah.
And like tied them down and then start drilling into multiple planes. I mean, in Magic, they sort of represent your library as your knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like what's in your brain. And so a lot of times the depictions of milling is, you know, getting inside your
brain.
Get inside
the brain, yeah. Either pull a memory out like Jace does, or in this case, literally drill it out. And the detail, again, is so gruesome because you can see scars all around this person's head.
Yeah, they've clearly been through this procedure a few times. I don't know what they think they're going to find inside that person's head anymore.
Yeah, I don't even know if this person is really that scared of it anymore either, if he's done it so many times.
I think it just hurts because he's
they're
screaming.
Just like, not again! Yeah, there's nothing left! Yarr! Well, let's read we should probably read some of the flavor text. This is by Stitcher Giralf. As you inject the viscous vitae into the brainstem, don't let the spastic moaning bother you. It will soon become music to your ears.
Oh, so the person doesn't like it. Okay, they're moaning.
There's nothing.
Let's not read flavor text anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going back to read?
Yeah. Okay. Because I want to, you know.
So we're going to read the flavor text from sensory deprivation now.
They call it Stitcher's Anesthesia, a spell to deaden the senses while the mad doctors begin their grisly work. There's something very scary about an authority figure, and you see this all the time in movies as well, like a doctor, a police officer, someone that you consider to be in general safe or for your good, not doing that.
Well, using their power, because they have a certain amount of power and authority for evil, right?
Yeah, so it's like sort of taking someone's expectation and flipping it on their head, which could be a good Halloween costume idea.
Okay, so for the longest time, I just thought that this was just like a scary creature. Yeah. I didn't really think about the name or really look at the art, but then it makes sense, obviously, once you do. But I thought that it was just like a troll or something that looks like this.
Nope.
So it's Squelching Leeches. It's by Svetlin Velinov. And it is a person in like a bog or a swamp. And
trying to get out.
They're trying to but they're kind of falling. And they have like a million leeches over their upper torso.
Yeah.
And their face is just covered with them.
Yeah, the only real part of their body you can see is sort of their arm and their hand. But yeah, tons of leeches. They look like they're in motion as well. Some of them are like in the water crawling up. And they're all presumably sucking the blood out of this because squelching leeches' power and toughness are each equal to the number of swamps you control. So it's like the more swamps you have, the more leeches you got.
I don't want any leeches.
Well, did you know that leeches are sacred to followers of Farika for drawing poison from a wound, but feared by everyone else for drawing blood from the flesh?
Okay, yep. I'll just keep the poison. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm good. I'm down to just die. Okay, the last card we have on the spookiest cards. It's an honorable mention because it comes from Throne of Eldraine, and it's literally called Turn Into a Pumpkin by Vincent Prose. Not terribly scary, I suppose, because you just sort of see these knights getting turned into pumpkins.
But I don't want that to happen to me.
Yeah, there's no gore, but you see like a procession of three knights just slowly falling and pumpkining.
Oh, yeah, you can see like one's fully turned into pumpkins. One is almost all pumpkins, but still a little bit human. And the one in the back is just starting to feel the effect, like grabbing their head like, hey, I don't feel so good.
Well, why is it not turned into pumpkins? Because look, this knight in the front became many pumpkins. He's even holding one pumpkin in his hand.
It's interesting because I thought Turn Into a Pumpkin would be related to the Cinderella story.
But
this is not. This is...
Well, they do have her carriage in the set. Is this guy's face? Can you kind of see his... Oh, that's actually kind of grotesque. You can kind of see a guy's face
turning into
pumpkinized,
a pumpkin.
Yeah, as he falls to the ground.
Makes me want a pumpkin spice latte.
That sounds great, actually. We should have had pumpkin spice lattes on set. What are we doing? We built all this here and we didn't even have a PSL for us?
We didn't think about it.
We're crazy. Also, if you guys have ever seen Villiam High School, there is a knight character in the second season that also similarly like becomes a troll and then falls out of the body. And it's very similar to Turn Into a Pumpkin.
It's season 3.
Season 3.
All right. That is going to do it for our spookiest and scariest cards in Commander. To the listeners, Magic is an incredible, horrific, and spooky game. What are your top picks for some of the scariest cards we did not mention?
Yeah, so it can be scary art, which there is plenty, or scary cards to see on the table.
And if you have some like out there picks, like reverse damage that you think are spooky, I would like to see the ones that, you know, not as conventional.
And if you think reverse damage is actually scary, let me know. The card art is terrifying, man.
I was like, this can't be it. What is this? You're like, yeah, okay.
Imagine if you woke up and that was at the foot of your bed, but you didn't see it. You just saw a bright light and then boom, photobombed by whatever that person is. Ugh.
Okay.
Oh, and also, we want to know why you find a card scary if it hits the other side of the table. Because it would be cool to see if someone's like Llanowar Elves. I'm like, that can actually be really scary.
Yeah. Maybe there's something in the background and nobody's ever noticed. So there's like a spider about it. It's like Disney's Haunted Mansion, how you like look at those paintings and then they reveal the back end of the paintings. It's like, the girl was smiling. Actually, no, there's a crocodile and she's on a tightrope.
There's a lot more to this than you realized.
If you want to pick up a bunch of these scary cards, maybe you can scare all of your opponents so that they just concede to you, then you can go to cardkingdom.com/commandzone. Yeah. Use our affiliate link when you're buying all your Magic products, singles, anything at all. You know, you're going to buy Magic cards anyway. We all do to play this game. And if you just use our affiliate link, when you do, you're simultaneously getting the cards you want and supporting all of our content, game nights, extra turns, this podcast. We really do appreciate everybody that does that.
And while you're there, Ultra Pro is our other sponsor of the show. They have been coming out with products for so many years now, and they always keep a really high consistent quality level, which is great because you want your cards to be just as protected 3 years ago as they are right now and 3 years in the future. And if there's one company that's going to guarantee to do that, it is Ultra Pro. For instance, the Satin Tower box, which is somewhere on set.
We'll show the Satin Tower.
Yeah, they're amazing. I've been
These
using
are
them for...
also Ultra Pro deck boxes.
Oh, nice. Yes. I've been using them forever. Ultra Pro has just been a part of my life for like 17, 18 years now. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. A lot of those cards are still around because of Ultra Pro.
Yeah, good point.
And the final thing we're going to plug here is our Kickstarter, which is still ongoing. We are into our stretch goal portion now. So if you want to see more episodes of Extra Turns, you can help us get there. We also have where we're going to do, if we reach the stretch goal, a gag reel of all the outtakes from game nights. We've done years and years now of episodes of game nights, over 30 episodes, and we have a whole bunch of stuff that didn't make it into the cut. Funny things, people flubbing their interview
lines,
moments, and things
yeah.
like that. And if you want to see some of your favorite Magic personalities, kind of how they act when they mess something up or when, you know, I don't know, when they crack.
It just doesn't make to camera. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Then the gag reel is something that you can help us create.
I know a lot of you out there want to just see Prof on the gag reel.
Yeah.
And it's okay. I do too. So if you want to get there, make sure you check out the Kickstarter. The links are below. We're going to tweet out all that stuff. And you can also, of course, if we have hit the stretch goal, there's going to be another exciting one after that. So make sure you check it out.
All right. Now it's time for the end step where we talk about something cool outside the world of magic. I watched this too. This is cool.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So I watched, it's just there's only one episode out right now. Yeah.
Well, when you're watching this, there will have been two, but for us, it hasn't come out
maybe
yet. So it's
three.
New series on HBO.
It's Watchmen.
Yeah.
So Watchmen was a movie that originally was a comic book series.
A graphic novel series, right.
The movie was done by Zack Snyder. They did a lot of changes to the world, and this Watchmen is more true to the original comic book graphic novel series, but set in a different time.
Yeah, I think it's been a little controversial because it is not a take on the graphic novels, which the Watchmen graphic novels are like considered one of the great graphic novels of all times.
Mm-hmm.
Up there with like the Sandman series and like...
Yeah, Frank Miller's Dark Knight stuff.
Yes, exactly. Mouse even is mentioned in the same, you know, breath. As Watchmen. So it's highly revered. And Damon Lindelof, who is one of the creators of Lost, did The Leftovers on HBO, has done a bunch of stuff, took over this series or was given this series as the showrunner for it, I think. And they took a different tact. They're sort of as if the Watchmen graphic novels happened and they're all canon in their world, but they're telling a story that's not related to stuff that was told in the graphic novels.
It's their own thing.
It takes place in 2019, and it's just another story or more stories that are happening in that world, or at least that's what we know right now.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. I will say that the opening to the show is unlike anything I've really ever seen. It's got a very interesting take on just the world in general, and it felt like this first hour was just scene after scene of just constant world building.
Yeah, but it was interesting too. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I really liked it.
There was some cool action. The acting, of course, is great, and it's HBO, so the production value is through the roof. I'm excited to keep watching it. I definitely was into it.
Yeah, from a cinematography standpoint, I thought they did a really good job as well. There's an interrogation scene, and also the music is done by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross.
Oh, yes. The music's so good.
Yeah, and so...
It's Trent Reznor's a genius, so... Yeah.
They did The Social Network. They have this... It's like this cool, like, deep electronic punk...
It's super vibey, and they lean into the music really hot, really, really hard. Like, they just let the music take over a lot, which I liked.
And the person that is the interrogator also is one of my favorite actors. He was in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? As one of the three band members. So the entire cast is fantastic.
Tim Blake Nelson, right?
Yeah. And the acting is really good, too. I don't know where it's going to go, and that's sort of the part that excites me, because it could be one of those shows that I watch a few more episodes, I'm like, eh, whatever. Or I've watched a few more, and I'm like, this is like True Detective Season 1 status.
And we're all kind of out there now, looking for that series that can sort of fill the void left by Game of Thrones and some other stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm excited to keep watching it. So if you haven't checked out Watchmen on HBO, so far we recommend it.
Yeah, and honestly, if there are a lot of subscription services out there. Obviously, Verve is one of our favorite ones. HBO's, it used to be this thing that you could only get if you had a cable package.
Yeah, now you can just get HBO by itself, and it's totally worth it.
On your phone, on your computer, so if you are able to get that kind of, or even like I think they have 30-day trials and all that stuff, too.
So,
you can check out a show like Watchmen. It's really good.
We are not sponsored by HBO, just FYI.
They don't
care about us and our small audience at all.
If you watch this podcast, HBO, and you're like, wow, look at those costumes. Look at their production value.
Look at your cinematography.
It's amazing. Watchmen. Forget Watchmen. Who are these guys?
Let's get game nights on HBO. We could do that.
Actually, that'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, we could totally do it. We'll just do a lot of CG.
Put a couple more dragons
in there. Yeah, exactly. No problem.
No problem. And have a really bad final season.
Hey.
No, I don't want to put that juju on us.
Yeah,
we have the
exactly.
greatest final season ever.
Exactly.
It's going to be fireworks.
Make sure to check out our sister podcast. I couldn't think of a segue from bad final season to our sister podcast, The Masters of Modern. It's not their final season, and it probably won't be for a long time.
In fact, Modern season is just getting started.
Holy cow. Also,
wait, Pioneer.
So Magic Wizards just announced a new format called Pioneer. It's Return to Ravnica, all standard legal sets from Return to Ravnica forward, but they banned the fetch lands. That's it so far that's banned. They're going to keep an eye on it. But anyway, the Masters of Modern guys are just in that world because they know a lot of the old cards and a lot of the old standard decks that were strong during their time period are probably going to be good in Pioneer. So they're talking.
And they've been going for a while too.
Yeah. So they're probably going to be talking about that a lot. So if you're interested in Pioneer or Modern, I think the Masters of Modern is a good place to go to find out sort of some cool information or things that people are thinking out there. You can find them on Twitter at the MMcast. You can just type the Masters of Modern into YouTube or your podcast app and they will pop right up.
It's interesting too, because Pioneer is definitely a lower power format than Modern. And a lot of the times, like our set review shows, and same with their set reviews, is like, this card is almost good enough, but not good enough. Pioneer kind of blows the door open for them, because it's like, well, this card may not have been good enough for Modern, but it definitely is for this Pioneer format.
I liked Sam Black had a great tweet the other day. He said, here's what you should be doing right now if you think a card should be banned in Pioneer. Prove it.
Prove it. Ooh, I like that.
That's what you should be doing as a deck builder in Pioneer right now. Yeah. It's like, if you think a card should be banned, you should be proving it.
Yeah. I think if there's going to be a card that's going to be a banned, it's that energy one that popped, that was banned.
Aetherworks Marvel.
Yeah, I think that has a high potential.
Smuggler's Copter could be on there.
Smuggler's Copter.
Anything that was banned has a good chance to be banned. But I think those two cards very high because they're colorless.
Yeah, I'll also say that if you are a Commander player and you've held on to a lot of standard legal cards, or cards that were standard legal that were powerful then but have gone down a lot, those cards, keep a hold on to them. They look to be going up soon. And then you could trade them into a place like CardKingdom.com and get a great value on stuff.
Maybe get some fetch lands that you can play in Commander.
Yeah, but you can't play in Pioneer.
Yeah.
Wah, wah, wah. All right, so we have a big team here at the Command Zone. And of course, because of the Kickstarter, we're able to expand that and really provide for the people that help make this whole thing possible. So big thanks, our editing and graphics team. We got Craig Blanchett, Ashlyn Rose, Terry Robertson, Josh Murphy, Jake Boss, Sam Waldo, and of course, Alfred Estaca, our esteemed packager and general business doer.
Alfred's just the catch-all for all the other stuff at the office. He does a great job of keeping the show running. So thanks, Alfred. And thanks, everybody else. And thanks, Ashlyn, for the cool set dressing and the awesome costumes.
Well, I would say, Ashlyn, it was trying to make a better Rankle costume for me, but time ran short, so we just went with what we had in the closet, and now I look like
David
Wayne's
Bowie,
World, Garth. Like,
David
I don't know,
Bowie
what am I?
Playing Rankle. You remind me of the Rankle. The Rankle with the power.
Oh, really, Josh? Oh, I'm David Bowie. There's a great Fly the Conqueror skit where they all play David Bowie. You should check that out. And, of course, special thanks to Jeffrey Palmer, who provides the living card animations, except for this one.
This is not a living card animation, but he does the ones that start and end all of our episodes, and also usually the stuff in the windows. But
usually
he didn't do the zombies.
Yeah. Those are actually real zombies.
Yeah, actually, we should probably get out of here because eventually they're going to break that glass and we're going to be in trouble.
Who wrote Help in Blood over there?
You'd think the blood would be on the other side of the window.
Yeah.
But I guess zombies can't spell, so that had to be a human.
Yeah, but they also knew to write it, because they can't write it there where it looks like help to them, they knew how to write it in mirror image so that...
Now that I look at it, there's a lot of blood on our side of the glass. We should...
We should deal with that, huh?
We should maybe get out of here. That seems pretty dangerous. Yeah. Thanks for watching, everybody.
And have a happy Halloween.
Getting out of here.
Peace. Bye. Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.